This race goes through 8 towns, including Boston. So that means you need a lot of coordination and a lot of communication. You can reduce the risk, but in a free and open society, you can never totally eliminate it. From my perspective, I think the Boston authorities, the Massachusetts authorities, have done everything they reasonably can do to make this a safe and secure event.
That was the voice of Ray Kelly, the former commissioner of New York City Police Commissioner, talking about the Boston Marathon. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. It is not too far away from that Boston Marathon. Monday, they'll be running through those towns that Ray Kelly was talking about. Thousands of athletes competing to cover 26.2 miles faster than anyone else. But I think it's going to be much more than just that. This is the kind of event that normally would attract overall in the Boston area, 500,000 spectators. You can probably pop that up to 1 million this time around. It's always held on Patriots Day, which is the third Monday of April, April 21st. That's how we come up with that date. It started, this is a race that started back in 1897, and it's the world's oldest annual marathon. It's one of the most prestigious road races there is, and it's one of the 6 World Marathon Majors. A race that was marred by tragedy last time around last year with the 2 bombs that went off, killing 3 people on the course. As a result, 4 people died, and hundreds of others were injured and had many, many operations, have lost limbs, and have learned to live without those limbs now, a year later. Over the weekend, they had tributes over at the Boston Marathon where the finish line would be. Some of the bombing survivors crossed the finish line. And it was a unique kind of marathon, pre-marathon day. So imagine what that's going to be like when so many people run this race this time around. Because it's all about, you know, the whole thing of the symbol of freedom. That's the Patriots Day deal. So you're going to have Bostonians and New Englanders, Americans of all kinds of citizens from all over, I think, that are going to be there to celebrate this time around. And I think it's going to be one heck of a race. I mean, the most famous road race in the world, the oldest continual run marathon in our country, spanning all those centuries I mentioned, so 3 centuries, and some amazing history of this thing. And I hope that that's part of what it's going to be about. It has to be partially a celebration of the lives that were lost, and you can't do this to us and that kind of thing, but also for the race itself, and I think for all the people that worked really hard to get there this time around. And the great thing is that they brought people back who didn't get to finish the race the last time around as well. So that makes it interesting, too. And I'll tell you, the Boston Marathon had some interesting moments over the years, like the women that broke the glass ceiling of marathon running, like Catherine Switzer, who did it in 1967, or right before her, Roberta Gibb, who did it, and what happened in those early years. And the marathon is the marathon. It is a little bit different this time around, but it's about inclusion and freedom and being the best, that endurance. It's all about spirit and heart and competition. And I can't wait to see what happens in the end of this race. I can't wait to see who ends up crossing that finish line, because 2013, which was April 15th, 3 hours after the winners crossed the finish line, those 2 explosions rocked so many worlds, and they happened, 200 yards apart on Boylston Street, and it was the last 225 yards of the course. So, of course, the race had to be stopped, and it prevented a ton of people from finishing. And the fact that 3 spectators were the ones that were killed, and more than, as I said, 200 people were injured in this, the people who didn't get to finish, you know, who completed at least half of the course and didn't finish because of the bombings, they get automatic entry into 2014. You can bet most of them will be there. And qualifying, frankly, isn't that easy. It's open to runners who are 18 or older, but they have to meet the qualifying standards. And to qualify, because think about this, you could say, well, I'm going to do it. I'm going to run in honor of somebody. It's not that kind of run. So to qualify, you have to complete a marathon course, and it has to be a certified deal. And you have to have a certain period of time that that you do it and then enter to try to enter into the race. And professionally, the professional runners, the times that they post are absolutely incredible. And for them, it's huge to cross that line first. And the fact that it's Patriots Day and, you know, the race where it starts at noon and goes from there, and the group that's so fast, how quickly they end up finishing this, some pretty impressive times, and just the waves of people that they have running it, be very, very interesting. And when I say starts at noon, when it, the race, for those that starts at noon, they've got people who are what they call mobility impaired. They have the elite women who start very early. So the first wave of runners is usually very early. And then they go from there as they move up the times, and that's what they've done. They batch the runners together. And the course runs, as I said, 26 miles, winding roads through Route 135 and Route 16. I was looking at the course just to jog my memory. Not that I've run it, Route 30, but I've been there, Route 30, and the city streets into the center of Boston, where the official finish line is at Copley Square, and it's right there near the Boston Public Library. And the fact that it runs through those cities and towns and the people that come out to cheer people on, it's really, you know, absolutely amazing to watch. And the hard areas where people get stuck on some of the hills, like Heartbreak Hill, and what that's like, which is near Boston College. I stood there 1 year, and actually that was my first experience of watching the race, and I thought it was just so cool to see these people just leave it all out there on the course. And now with I think with what's, like I said, what transpired last time around, the history of the race anyway, always a very, very big deal. But this year it's even that much more special, I think. And the precautions that had to be taken this time around, the whole thing with the bags, so no bags are put down, no bags near the course, and they've really let people know that way ahead of time so there wouldn't be any kind of problems with that. And I think that this race is going to be just like any of the other Boston marathons. You're going to see some fast times and some interesting stories along the way, and even some of the people who were injured last time around are running in this race. So good luck to anybody who's running in the Boston Marathon. All right, coming up next, our weekly re-rack, a conversation with Jeff Atticott about the situation in the Ukraine. We certainly have some updates on that. He's a terrorism expert. That's next on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Hey everyone, have you heard about the no-no hair removal device that's sweeping the globe? If you want to go weeks without shaving and get smooth, professional, quality results, here's our favorite host, Cheryl, for no-no hair removal.
Thanks. Hey gals, I love talking about my no-no. It's this cute little hair removal system that you can take with you and use almost anywhere at home or on the road. No more expensive in-office treatments, painful waxing, and no more wasting your valuable time. Got unwanted facial hair? No-no has patented Thermacon technology that works on all hair and skin colors, so it's perfect for using on all body parts. And now you can take advantage of this incredible risk-free trial. Get the No-No, the facial kit, a travel case, and a $100 discount shopping card, and you don't risk a penny to try it. Try the incredible No-No hair completely risk-free. Call 1-800-953-6062. That's 800-953-6062. 800-953-6062.
The show, terrorism expert. He's the director of the Center for Terrorism Law, St. Mary's University School of Law in San Antonio. Izzy in Missouri, I hope you're listening. I think, Jeff, Izzy is one of your biggest fans. She loves it when you're on. She likes it. She says, Jeff, he pulls no punches. And speaking of pulling no punches, boy, I'll tell you, some of your posts are just, I mean, all your posts really to me are dead on, but you talk about why the Crimea can control its own destiny and become part of Russia. Some people see that and go, what's he talking about? Explain what you think the role should be for the United States in this situation that we've got going on now in the peninsula.
Well, from a national perspective, you know, we have to do what's best for our country, and I'm a nationalist. I don't really care about, you know, the international poo-poo, so to speak, of the far left that always are concerned with what other countries think about us. From a national interest, Ukraine has not attacked us. They haven't attacked another country. They've obviously got civil unrest. They've got issues within their own nation. We've had the same process in our own great history. We had a thing called the Declaration of Independence, where the people decided that we wanted to break away from a particular government that we found distasteful. We have the right, the God-given right, according to our Declaration of Independence, to form a new nation. And that's exactly what we did. So if the individuals in that part of Ukraine, the Crimea, vote to join another nation or create their own country, they certainly have the right to do so.
Yeah, and it's great the way you point that out about the Declaration of Independence, because all we keep hearing from the White House, from Obama, is that this is breaking international law. But that simply isn't true, is it?
No, not necessarily. It's not true at all. Again, it's called self-determination. When in the course of human events, governments are formed by the consent of the people, and if the people no longer consent, they have the right to break away, and this is a case of them breaking away. They're not trying to overthrow the government in Kiev. They're simply saying that we no longer think that you represent our interests. We have grievances, and we want to break away. And in this case, they want to break away and join with Russia. They have the God-given right. If it was good enough for our founders, then it should be good enough for everybody else in the world. We can't say, well, it's good enough for us, but nobody else can do it. That doesn't make sense. And President Obama, you know, obviously has a very shallow understanding of the roots of this country.
Yeah, as you watch this, too, and you see what's happening with the European Union, it seems to me, and I could be wrong about this, but reading this, they're talking about the money they're raising to give to the Ukrainians and all that kind of stuff, Jeff, but it seems to me like the European Union is trying to sort of back around this. They're kind of caught in the middle of this. Am I right?
Well, I think so, yes. I mean, no one's going to go to war over what's occurring in Ukraine. And no one's going to impose heavy economic sanctions on Russia. Russia's not Libya. They are a major superpower. And if you want to, fall on your sword over this and start a new Cold War in earnest, then that's the way to do it. And the Europeans aren't going to do that. They're too dependent on Russia. And again, Russia has not attacked another country. They were invited in. They came in to protect their own ethnic population, Russians that are there at the invitation. The parliament voted unanimously in the Crimea to have a referendum and to rejoin Russia. Now it's going to the people. So the people will make that determination. And if they decide they want to go with Russia, then I see no violation of international law.
What does this say about also the president and how he's perceived internationally now, especially after what's happened the last couple of years, the things that you and I have talked about?
Well, you know, the naivete all started when he got the Nobel Peace Prize after being in office for 24 hours and doing nothing. And the one thing he has done is nothing. Every issue that he's touched, from Iraq, where it's falling apart, to Afghanistan, where we're leaving in defeat, to Syria, to Libya, to North Africa, to Russia, our relationships with China, North Korea, he has no success stories, either domestically with his policies nor in terms of national security. It's, it's quite sad that the United States has lost a lot of our standing because, you know, what other countries respond to is the application of violence or the threat of lawful violence. And of course, when we rattle our sword now, it's about the size of a butter knife, and it intimidates nobody in terms of getting them to do or to refrain from doing anything. So we are simply a paper tiger under this administration.
Yeah, and then you mix in, too, always the United Nations, but you even clearly point this out. They can't get involved in the middle of this, with Russia clearly being part of the Security Council, correct?
That's correct, and that's why the United Nations is another reason why it's a worthless organization. During the Cold War, nothing ever got done because the Soviets were one of the members of the Permanent Security Council and the Chinese Communists. So we had a brief little window of opportunity in the 90s when we had a couple of resolutions that got through. But particularly with President Obama in his Libya escapade, when he got the Security Council to approve a no-fly zone and then broke his word and started attacking targets on the ground through, quote-unquote, NATO, well, you know, the Russians and the Chinese aren't going to approve any type of Security Council use of force anywhere in the world with that type of track record.
Yeah. What's your take? I mean, this is off topic of Russia and that situation, but just because so many eyes are on this, what's happening with this Malaysian airliner that's missing and the whole passport thing, the two people with the fake passport. And I know this can be a lot of different things and we don't know at this point, but what's your gut tell you on that?
Well, you know, the number one target for radical Islamic extremism has always been airplanes. We've had cases where planes have gone down before. The one in Egypt that the pilot basically crashed into the ground, and the media tried to cover it up. Our first clue was when he was shouting as he crashed the plane into the ground, Allah Akbar, over and over and over again. We don't have enough information. We have two individuals that bought, you know, one-way tickets with cash, and no red alarms went off. That's very disturbing. And so we'll just have to kind of wait and see. But Malaysia is a Islamic nation, and there's radical Islamic extremists in Malaysia aplenty.
Yeah, boy, that certainly is true, no doubt about that. Another thing that we talked about a lot, and I'll throw this in here too, is because you had thoughts on this, Benghazi keeps, you know, bubbling up, coming back up over again. Are we ever really going to know the A, B, C, and D of this situation that happened there with the death of the ambassador and three others?
Not with our current news media, not until this administration is out of office, and it might come out at some point. But, of course, Hillary Clinton has an interest in keeping the lid on the truth. What I do know is that we could have got air assets there in time to make a difference. And when we were told that, well, you know, we couldn't distinguish who to shoot at, no, you just shoot at everything within a two-block radius around the embassy and level it. That sends a signal to people that do not mess with our ambassador or with our embassy. And if there's collateral damage, then that's simply the way it goes. And these groups, these totalitarian groups, will understand that. But, of course, we wring our hands and worry about what countries will think about us. Well, when you don't use force, when you have the right to use force, they think a great deal about you in terms of being vacillating and weak and do-nothings.
So in that perception, vacillating and weak, whoever the next person is that steps into the White House, how important is it, do you think, for them to stand much, much taller than what we've seen, obviously? Is there a way to get that back? Because, you know, it's one of those hills that you can roll down, and all of a sudden the United States just keeps getting further and further away from what it once was.
Well, it's going to take, you know, opportunities where we can use force in a logical way and then to use that force, because that's what gets the attention of these regimes. There was a time when the American flag was such that, you know, nobody dared mess with the American flag. And that time has passed. Doesn't mean it can't come back again, but we need to put our emphasis on protecting our people and using force when necessary when those people are threatened.
Yeah. All right, and finally, Jeff, last question, bring it back around to the situation with what Putin's doing, what's happening there with the referendum. Do you think the referendum just goes off as on the 16th without a lot of problems, or do you think there's some problems?
I think it's going to go off, and I'm confident based on, you know, what my sources say, that it will be an overwhelming vote to secede and to join Russia.
Yeah, because, again, that also goes to the population, right? A lot of the population there, that's exactly what they want.
That's right. And, of course, Ukraine's not a stable country. Russia has more stability. And, again, the parliament voted unanimously to secede, basically.
Yeah. All right, Jeff Atticott, St. Mary's University School of Law. How's things in San Antonio?
Well, they're doing good. You know, not as cold as it is up north, but we're surviving the global warming as well.
I love that. Jeff Atticott, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Kate.
Bye-bye.
If you own a business, you need customers, right? Well, your potential customers are listening to this radio program right now, and I can help you reach them. Hi, I'm Matt Brower, a national marketing executive at the radio network responsible for this program. I can help you customize a national radio campaign that fits your budget, large or small, while targeting your specific audience. Call me to learn how radio advertising can make your business more profitable. 877-996-4327, extension 128. That's 877-996-4327, extension 128.
Hi, this is Larry Smith. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, like when the jeweler ruined my ring and wouldn't do anything about it. But when my Legal Shield attorney called him and told him what my rights were, I received a check for over $2,100. Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com, or call 855-340-SAVE. Again, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you are searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terriganix. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.
Situation there, isn't it interesting? Time just moves so slowly when it comes to what's happening in this Russia situation. And now we're seeing burned cars. There was a big roadblock at an area in the Ukraine, Slavinsk. And what happened there is now the same thing that's been going on, is the massive tensions, is we've got more and more troops there, and you've got, after the annexation of the Crimea region, you have Moscow saying, well, you know, here's the deal. Since there's a lot of unrest around the country, we feel like we need to be there to help out. We need to help out, give them a push to the other side. So Sunday over the weekend was pretty brutal. You had a lot of pro-Russian groups that were in this one area that started to attack. They came under massive attack with the roadblock. So you had three or four cars that went to the roadblock. That then they opened fire on the barricades, the people that were behind it. And this is the latest pro-Russia deal that's happened. Six people were killed in the shootout. And trying to keep this, you know, to contain them has been such a tough thing. The pro-Russian leaders say that, you've got people that were occupying the state security building in the town. They've been there for a week. And, you know, so this is where there's all this conflict that's coming in. people taking over buildings and the pro-Russian protesters like that at the roadblock and opening fire, burned out cars. This is a scene that's starting to pop up all over the Ukraine. And then a lot of denials, and then Putin will say, you know, we can't have this sort of thing happen. And I think the dream is, let's take the Ukraine and make it become part of the Soviet Union again. And he goes further and further every single day. So who knows where this all ends up? And the United States, with the diplomatic measures that they're pushing, it's to reduce whatever the tension is in the Ukraine. It's not working. Joe Biden is who you send to the Kiev. He's there. And he's going to meet with a whole bunch of different leaders. It's not Putin, though, but everybody else. And that's going to do something? I don't think so. I think the Russians are going to do whatever they want to do. I mean, seriously. Mysterious shootings? The pro-Russian militants? It's awful. I mean, really, it's awful what's happened on these country roads in the eastern Ukraine. And I think we're just going to keep hearing more and more stories like that. All right, some of you actually wanted to talk about Russia. I've got a full mailbag, so let's go and check the mail.
You have mail, mistress.
This one from Slam and Sammy, who says, Kate, I promise I'm going to call, miss talking to you on the air. I've been so busy and my situation has flipped around. I'm working different hours, but I do download your stuff from the network website and listen. And I'll tell you, I think Putin is on a mad, wacky journey to just completely annihilate anyone who's not pro-Russia in the Ukraine. What is the next target there? I think he's being pretty ambitious. Take out a map and look at the Ukraine and get ready, because he's going to continue to do it. Yeah, and, you know, some people think that we kind of gave the green light to Putin to do it by just coming up with these sanctions that aren't really unbelievably tough for Russia to handle. It seemed like it was going to be that way, but it hasn't been that way. So the Russians have infiltrated, you know, the special forces into the Ukraine for a while now, for the past couple of weeks and months. And I think they're creating the instability. It's pretty obvious they're doing that. And the intervention is followed by, all of a sudden, the disappearances of the opposition leaders, the potential leaders, are just gone all of a sudden. And then you see the hammer and sickle flags. Whoops. You're gone. Just like that. So there's no peace on the horizon there. I don't think so. And what's going to happen? Hey, what about natural gas? What's going to happen there? Europe's going to have to switch what they do with natural gas, what the sourcing is, because it has to be away from Russia. So the U.S. is going to have to allow natural gas exports, and Canada and the U.S., they're going to have to do something to juice the stack, right? They're going to have to induce private folks to build the liquid natural gas facilities that make it possible to even handle the exportation. That's what's going to happen, because that's what will be lost in this. The Europeans are the ones who are really, 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 really caught in this. There's no question about that. All right, let's move on to another one. And this one is from Larry, who says, Kate, I hope you had a fabulous Easter with your family. Easter always feels like a great time to me, not only because Jesus is risen, but it is sort of a cleanse, not just spiritually, just all the way around. It feels like a cleanse to me, a whole renewal of hope and all those kinds of things that make you gravitate toward positivity. One can only hope, because if you look at what's happening around the world, I'll tell you what, you would have many reasons to not be optimistic. But that's why I like you, and that's why I like America Tonight, because you talk about all sorts of things. It's not just down and dirty negative. Thank you very much. All right, so of course, yeah, if you look hard enough, you don't even have to look that hard, there would be reasons. Like the big news about the drones over the weekend, although if these Al-Qaeda targets were hit and there's not a lot of collateral damage, I'm saying thumbs up to that, because Yemen is just a hornet's nest for this. I mean, they're trying so hard to do whatever they can, I think, to cut off as many heads as they can, because what ultimately is the goal? To get rid of the Western ways. So the U.S. State Department has tried to do all kinds of things besides, obviously, we see what's happening on the drone side, which isn't the State Department, but the State Department, they're focusing on social media and trying to bring in all the extremists. They're trolling for the extremists so that they can find them. So between the drone strikes in Yemen, where, you know, we'll see how many fall, and trying to hook some in website-wise and social media-wise, maybe they'll be able to weed out some more of the snakes in the garden, if you you know, if you will. Okay, let's take this one from Carmen, who says, Kate, I have a big question for you. I was wondering, I've heard you talk about sports, and I know you used to cover sports, and you cover politics, and I wonder, because I've heard you talk about Philadelphia, is that where you are from, or are you from someplace else, California or someplace else? Boy, I'll tell you what, it used to be throw my golf clubs in the car and take off to whatever the land, wherever I was going next, wherever the career was taking me next. And and this is what I like doing America Tonight, because I've lived in all of your backyards. I've lived in every section of the country. So from the Midwest to the Southeast to the South, the Southwest, to growing up in the East and living in the West. I've lived in California. It's been a very cool journey, for sure. And I grew up just outside of Philadelphia in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And, of course, our satellite facility now is in Dallas, Texas, and I couldn't be happier. In the Midwest, I met some great people, and along the way, I certainly have had the privilege of doing that. So there's a sort of a long answer to the question. I've lived in a lot of different places, to be sure, and I enjoyed all of them. Every single place I've lived, the people have something that they're really super proud of. Sometimes it has to do with food. Sometimes it has to do with history. And sometimes it has to do with a combination of the two. Now, I did live in Las Vegas, and I'm not sure. Sin City had a lot of things to offer, but food wasn't really one of them, because it was like buffet land. And it was all about the comps and the whole idea of that. You could get it whatever you wanted at any time. Any day, it didn't matter. There were no clocks on the wall, if you know what I mean. Okay, let's move on to this one. This one from Jake in Austin. I think Jake has the last word. Kate, what's the deal with the Nevada rancher? I love that people were backing up Bundy. How cool that they traveled to his ranch to try to help him out. The Bureau of Land Management, couldn't they have just tried to work it out? Give me a break. It certainly sounds like they weren't trying to do that. And it's emblematic of what the problem is between the bureaucrats and just the plain old people of these United States. Well, the Bundy supporters definitely came out in droves, and they say the federal government just smashed him, you know, just trampled all over his rights with the whole grazing thing with his cattle. But not all the ranchers in Nevada are supportive of Bundy. Not all of them are. And it's, you know, it goes to that tug of war over the land, where the Bundy family really had access to land forever and a day, and now all of a sudden it's, sorry, we are using this land for something else, and you owe us grazing fees, and, you know, we've capitalized on this. In Nevada, I was looking this up the other day, and I just saw it somewhere on the web, too, to verify it. 87% of the state is owned by the federal government, the land that we're talking about. And the Bureau of Land Management oversees like 245 million acres of public lands that are mostly, it makes sense, west of the Mississippi River. I don't think the Bundy thing is over by any stretch of the imagination. Stay with us. Thanks for the emails.
It's time for a home security quiz. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $30? Yes, it's fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. To get your fake TV for only $29.95 with free shipping, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Tonight, I'll tell you what, over Easter weekend, a lot of people decided they were going to go and catch Heaven Is For Real. How about that? So $21.5 million is what it raked in, and that's pretty big for a faith-based movie. And it was a perfect time, I think, to release it. But the movie stars Greg Kinnear, and I think it's supposed to be a pretty good, movie, actually. And it was good enough that it, besides the, you know, the dollar figure, because that's what they look at with the box office with Hollywood, it finished third. Captain America was number one, Rio two, and these are two popular movies and that have been in the theater now for a couple of weeks. And Heaven Is For Real, so it made its money because it was made on a budget of $12 million. And that's nothing. You blink in Hollywood and you spend that kind of movie. So this year you've had, if you're keeping score, you had Noah, Son of God, God's Not Dead, all made it into the top 20, and then Heaven is for Real. And then you've got Ridley Scott. He's got a movie coming out in December, I think it is, Exodus, Gods and Kings, and that's another faith-based movie. But so you know, Heaven is for Real is based on a book about a four-year-old boy who said he visited heaven and met relatives and God when he was having emergency appendectomy surgery. So this struck a nerve as a book. It struck a nerve with a lot of people. People liked it. And then turning it into a movie, obviously, it's done okay. So how about that? And, of course, Noah, we know it's loosely based on the whole story, the Genesis story. And that's done pretty well. That's, even though some people are not happy with the portrayal, it's done pretty well. You know, it's interesting. I was looking this up, and I think people know this by now, but if you just went into whatever search engine you use and said, you know, faith-based movies and how well do they do, in the last 5 years, you know how many have been made? 26 movies. That they would call, like, Christian films. I was surprised by that. 26 movies. And that would include, like, The Chronicles of Narnia, which is the C.S. Lewis fantasy novels, because they say there's, like, a Christian theme on that, so that would be included in that. And I think one of the biggest all-time movies was back in 2004, The Passion of the Christ, and that movie really raked in big money, over $600 million. And they made that for something like $30 million. And over $600 million. So how about that? It's interesting. And the like I said, this movie is supposed to be pretty good because the book got a lot of accolades for the book. You know, the whole Eyes of a Child and that whole thing. So $12 million pulling in that much money. It may be that we'll see more of this too, because you know, for how many theaters are there in the United States? 5,700, just a little over 5,700. And let's face it, it's about profit. And so if there's a profit in it, then they're gonna go for it. They're gonna go for the different themes. And there certainly was a profit this time around. In a lot of different ways, obviously, because it worked out for that movie, and this is just the beginning week, so it could end up making a whole lot more than that. Hopefully over the weekend you had a chance to spend some time with your family, just hang out. Maybe you didn't necessarily do anything dramatic or exciting. A lot of times people take some extra days off and travel with their family to see other family, and it's of all the times of the year for the extended family. Certainly Thanksgiving and Christmas, but I would say Easter falls in there for lots of people too, because it's spring, and so it's further away. You're into the new year and the celebrations and whatnot, and that draws a lot of families together, especially if they live a little bit closer. I mean, you know, when there's more distance, it might be much more difficult, but definitely when they live closer, that's when people end up having a whole table full of people eating whatever it is they're eating, turkey, ham, you know, whatever it might be. That still certainly didn't stop the talking heads on Sunday. And besides the Easter theme and Christianity and that kind of thing, and the Pope's message remembering the abandoned people, because that was his message on Good Friday, that you have to remember the immigrants, the poor, the sick, the elderly, the unemployed, the people who are down, basically. That was what he called the abandoned people. And that was part of the Easter service, too. That was kind of the theme, I guess, this time around. All the wrongs, the economic crisis, and job insecurity, and dismissals, and what do you call an economy that rules rather than serves, and financial speculation and suicide among he really went deep. Suicide among business owners, corruption, and the loss of local industry and whatnot. So that was it was pretty interesting how deep Francis went on how he felt about remembering the abandoned people, and even specifically talking about people that, of all kinds, not just the people who you would think that are down on their luck, but even beyond that. So besides talking about those themes and what Easter meant, because you saw that on some of the political shows, there were other things that were talked about too. And the Ukraine is front and center, one of the big ones, because what ultimately is the United States going to do about this? Nothing or something or what? So two members of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on Sunday said, let's beef up sanctions against Russia. Let's cut the crap. And let's include petrochemical and banking industries. The banking industries would really affect Russia. Remember, we had somebody on from Moscow who told us that. And so far, Russia has ignored the United States and Europe, frankly, in any effort to try to get them to back off with their confrontation with any of the cities in the Ukraine. So Senator Bob Corker of Tennessee, who was on Meet the Press, said, you know, we've helped in a lot of ways to create the problem that's there in the first place, that's existed. And to leave them alone like that, we're leaving them alone, is just unconscionable that we would do that. And you go from Corker to Chris Murphy, a Democrat from Connecticut, who says, I think the time is now to ratchet up our sanctions, whether it's on the petrochemical companies, like he's saying, or the Russian banks. So it's interesting. The senior Republican member and another committee member on that same committee agreed, Democrat and Republican, that you got to ratchet up the sanctions on them. And if Russia gets away with it, they think that there's a potential that a NATO ally is probably next, and that there's going to be a lot of pain, economic style, to Europe as a result of this. And, you know, the president said weeks ago that they're prepared to take some kind of further action against Russia if the diplomatic efforts don't pay off, if they, you know, to destabilize this conflict fails, then something else will happen. You got Joe Biden, who's in Kiev, which, I mean, you send Biden in this kind of a situation, I don't get that. Chuck Hagel, the defense secretary, says that we're looking for ways to reassure our allies of our commitment to the collective defense of this. What's it going to look like 1 week from now? Next week's going to be pretty darn interesting, I'll say that. Any thoughts on the show, send them to me, americatonight.net.
Spring time is saved big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know spring is the time to stock up at herbalhealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for spring specials, including our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia and Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Warwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for spring at herbalhealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to herbalhealer.com and click on Spring Specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy.